Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:07 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Seth Habhager with us.
Good morning, everyone.
We are here to have a good time and nothing short of it. We're going to enjoy ourselves this morning. We're going to lead you into Morning Magazine, and we got a lot of fun things to do it with. We've got animal rescuers tracking down a mischievous gypsy cow. I don't know if he's mischievous or she is mischievous or not, but we'll find out. We're going to find out together. They also have our National Day of Calendar to dive into. We'll get into that. It is one thing we'll let you know right away. It's Pizza Day.
Ooh.
Ooh.
It's National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Oh,
so we're going to touch on that
specific.
A little bit. Yes. Get that right. I don't want to offend the pepperoni people out
That's
there.
Right.
They're my people. That is coming up. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. 9 o'clock hour, That Ain't Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. We're going to open up the phone lines a little bit today and see if any of you are interested to join the conversation. Looking forward to that. All that coming up for you. Lead you into Morning Magazine, where at 10:06, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Arts Council. We have Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council, joining us, along with Eric Brittenacher from the Performing Arts Center.
Nice.
Very cool.
We're going to talk about Artrageous.
That sounds like such a cool show.
Oh, it is. It really does look cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to talk about with that. That's going to be a really fun conversation. And then in part two, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties and my big sister, Terry John's, going to be in today.
Awesome.
Looking forward to talking with Terry. We have to act serious today, though, because we have work to do. We have
serious business.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So but serious.
Looking forward to that. That's always a good time. A little bit later today. All that coming up for you. So I want to catch up with you guys, how you're doing, because it was a dark and stormy morning.
It was.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of scary driving here this morning. The lightning was going crazy.
Yeah. Mm.
And there was one point I was driving through Spencer, I believe I was in Spencer, and the lightning struck a power line right in front of me.
Mm. Whoa.
It hit the transformer and it blew up.
Mm. Wow.
Dang.
Yeah. But none of the lights went out in town, so I don't know. It was just a...
Interesting.
And it only sparked a little bit. Like, it didn't actually blow up. I mean, it made a huge boom that echoed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were sparks and everything. It was kind of scary.
It did enough. It did enough.
In the movie version, it really was, spectacular, right?
They over-exaggerated
the movie
version.
And then it arced over to the Quick Trip, and the whole thing blew up, and it was really spectacular.
That's not what really happened.
Yeah, no.
No. That would have been very sad, because it's a brand new Quick Trip.
Yeah, that would be rough. Glad you're okay. Glad you made it all right and everything today.
Made
and everybody, stay safe out there, everybody. Safe travels, everyone. Because it's supposed to be 80 today.
Yeah.
It just don't seem like it right now, but it eventually will get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be talking with our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center in the 8 o'clock hour to kick off our 8 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Trombley's been joining us for a while, which is kind of cool, to be honest, because Paul is old school. He's been doing this a long time. He's good at this.
He has, you know, I was trying to remember. I know I've heard his name before, and I think I was like, wow, I think I remember hearing him when I was like a kid almost. He's been doing that for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul knows what he's talking about, too. And he's fun to talk to.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Seth, how was it for you today?
It's so far, so good.
I thought
the ominous thunder in the background there.
I thought you might get interrupted for a second.
No, it's been, you know, it's thunderstorms in the morning are always weird because we don't get many of them.
Yeah.
But when you're, you know, getting ready and stuff and there's thunder, you know, you're used to them at night. It's just very strange to me. It's dark out and it's not a very inviting morning. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It almost feels like it shouldn't be. Like you shouldn't
be able to start a day this way. In bed.
Yeah.
Like this should be a day we all just get to go back to bed.
Like there's this agreement with all of us as adults.
Yep.
Like
yeah.
a day like this, we send the kids to school and then we like crap. Like
it's
our day. Like it's you know, you guys have a good day. You have a good day out there. Just sleeping right away.
You guys get snow days. We get thunderstorm days.
Yes.
I think that should be a thing.
I think we're on
something. Let's all get together.
Here.
Yeah.
Get on the same page.
We may not be able to break a world Guinness record or anything like that, but maybe we can get this started.
Let's try it.
I'm glad you're both in today and you're all right. We hope you're all right out there. Stay safe, everybody. And we're going to make you a little hungry possibly right now.
Ooh.
And for me, this is a That Ain't Right story, but it's only for me that it's a That Ain't Right story. Everybody else, you have fun with this. Enjoy the story.
All right.
Italian chef breaks Guinness World Record with a 70-foot cannoli.
Ooh.
Wow.
A team of chefs in Italy broke a Guinness World Record by cooking up a cannoli measured 70 feet, 3.7 inches long. The record attempt Sunday in Sicily featured a team of chefs from across Italy coming together to cook the world's largest cannoli, a dessert better known as the plural cannoli.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be specific about it, I suppose.
Just to be specific, yes. Mm-hmm.
The massive shell was filled with more than 1,500 pounds of ricotta, organizers said. The attempt was organized by Arita's World Italia and led by master pastry chef Lillo Di Ferraria.
Mm.
The 70-foot, 3.7-inch cannoli took the record from a 16-foot, 4.9-inch cannoli made in 2016, which was delicious. I don't know.
Can't believe I ate the whole thing.
They didn't invite me.
That's a lot of cannoli.
That is.
That's a lot. It's
holy
a lot
cannoli.
Of cannoli.
Yeah.
Somebody had to say it. Somebody. It's great. It's very cool. I mean, I'm honestly, like, there's very few Guinness records that I'm not impressed by or don't think they're really cool. But why it's a That Ain't Right story to me is, as somebody who in the last couple of, I'll say in the last 6 months, I've had three different racial situations with being Italian. And all of them having to do with Italian stereotypes.
Really?
And then I got these chefs cooking the world's biggest cannoli. Like, couldn't you guys, like, make the world's biggest filet or
right,
steak?
Right.
Or like, something that's not so on the nose.
They got to play right into the stereotype,
right? Why don't
you
just make
right?
the biggest meatball while you're at it, guys? I mean, come on. You're just making this harder for me
here.
You just
played a spaghetti, you know?
I actually think this is a really cool idea.
Yeah.
if you're gonna make something big, I always think that, like, dessert foods are the best.
Yeah.
I suppose, like, the world's biggest sub might be too. But I feel like with desserts, for the most part, you know, you can really please a lot of people. You can, you know, we get a lot of people to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know how other people think of this stuff or anything. It's my brain, so we know it's going to get weird. When they're making this stuff, one of the first thoughts I have is, well, they better not waste all that food.
Right. What are they going to do with it?
Yeah, we got a lot of hungry people in this world.
Uh-huh.
How cool would it be if they made the world's biggest cannoli in, like, Africa? Or like, you know, not to just throw a name out there, but a country that does deal with famine oftentimes and hunger. Things like that. I really would love that combination.
Mm-hmm.
You could have the world record, you can have the fun with all that and everything, and at the same time, maybe feed some people in the world that are really, really, really hungry.
Makes sense, right? Right?
I mean, I know when I was a kid and I'd see things like this, it would kind of frustrate me. You know, growing up in the inner city here in America, I can't imagine around the world them looking at these things.
Yeah,
and that was my way of taking a fun topic and making it serious. That was
thanks, James. You're so good at
way
that.
To go.
I have a certain skill. I don't like to brag about it or anything, but I'm pretty good at it.
You're pretty good at it.
Make a souffle or something. Why has it got to be a cannoli? An animal rescue organization in New York said personnel are trying to locate a 750-pound cow that escaped from a farm and has been on the loose for more than 3 weeks.
Whoa.
The Strong Island Animal Rescue League, well, great name, great name.
Yes.
Said the cow, dubbed Vienna, escaped from Jerry's farm on Wadding River Road on August 27th and has been on the loose ever since, despite numerous sightings.
Wow.
The group shared a video to Facebook showing the most recent Vienna sighting at the Pine Hill Golf and Country Club.
Hmm.
Get a quick 18 in there.
Yeah. Rescuers said a new home is being prepared for the cow at the Skylands Animal Sanctuary and Rescue in New Jersey. That may be right near the one that Jon Stewart and his wife run. I'm not sure. It sounds very familiar.
Oh, wow.
And I bring that up, and I thought of that because they had an escape cow. They when they first opened their sanctuary, I think like a year in or something like that, they found the cow and everything. I was traveling across the state a little bit Sunday. And going out to Milwaukee, you don't travel very far in Wisconsin, and what do you see? Cows.
You see cows, oh yeah.
I love to see our friends, the cows, and everything. But I don't know if like Long Island cows are different than like Wisconsin cows, because I can't imagine a Wisconsin cow on the run.
No,
I get like a couple blocks and like, what am I doing? Like, all my food's over there. Yeah. Why am I?
My friends are over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back over there.
Yeah, they're not as good as hitchhiking as New Jersey cows are. So yeah.
Apparently not.
Just trying to get to Atlantic City. This cow's just trying to get to Atlantic City. It's not easy. I mean, it's hard enough to find a good ride sometimes, but if you're a cow, you're 750 pounds.
Got a feeling he's lucky. Or he or she is lucky, I should say. We don't know. But.
So it must be lucky he's got stayed on the loose this
That's
long.
That's true.
I think we should call it Sasquatch.
Yeah. I like that.
The elusive Sasquatch.
Yeah, it's so perfect.
Well, there's been sightings.
Sightings. I've seen the Sasquatch cow.
So, yes, just well played.
Well, it's New Jersey. It's the Jersey Devil. That's what it is.
Oh, there we go.
That's the elusive animal in Jersey. So, yeah.
We will take a break on that because I got nothing funnier to end the segment on.
Oh, man.
We'll come back and get into our National Day of Calendar and plenty more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar now. At the end of that, we have a street closer to let you know about. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and dive right in and let's see what is unique about this September 20th. It is Get Ready Day.
Okay, get ready, everybody.
Get ready.
Wow, that's a good song.
It is a good song. Yeah. I like the way you sing, so I don't like interrupting. Being prepared to deal with an emergency is important for anyone, and this is what Get Ready Day is all about. It is staged each year as a way to encourage individuals, families, and communities to consider what is required in the event of a natural disaster, pandemic illness, infectious disease, and other crisis events. Thankfully, we'll never have to deal with any of those, so let's just move on, everybody.
Yes, that's right.
The day was first established in the mid-2000s by the Public Health Association, and the Get Ready website has a wealth of information to help those that are interested. Mm-hmm. So let me see. I just want to make sure that if I can find that for people real quick. I don't like it when people mention websites, but they don't...
They don't do a link for it?
Yeah. I'll try to find that for you, because all I'm finding is the great song by The Temptations, Get Ready.
Yeah, which, again, good stuff.
But, really good song. Yep. Really good song. I like that that's the first thing that popped up. I don't know why, but I like that that's the first thing. I am an over-preparer. I am an overthinker. There aren't many situations in life that I don't have multiple angles on, that I don't think of multiple angles on, and... More times than not, there ain't many things that I don't think of, only because my brain is just overthinking. I'm not saying this is a healthy or good thing. So to me, this is every day. This is literally every day. This is not new to me. Do you guys find yourselves?
So the website is ready.gov.
Nice.
Which, lots of great information there. I've been there before, yeah.
Nice work, Mel.
Yeah.
Do you find yourselves doing this at all, like being, I want to say over-prepping, but... say a day like this, you see the weather's crazy, Mel's seeing a transformer getting hit and everything, so immediately you start thinking of, okay, where do I have my flashlights, where do I have the candles, that kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking of this as day is talking about. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's exactly it, but that's where my brain went.
Yeah, I think it is. Preparing, a lot of it is about, especially if you have children in your house, talk about, what you do in the event of a fire. Like, thinking about these kind of things took me back to my childhood and how my parents went through, if a fire happens, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. If we've got a tornado coming, this is what we do. Those are the things we prepared for then. Mm-hmm. Now we also need to prepare for pandemic illnesses and, other crisis events. And depending on where you live, you got to worry about flooding.
Of course.
Things of that nature. So, having a kit, knowing where you need to reunite if you get separated.
Living in Wisconsin is a great reminder every winter.
Yeah.
Because, they say it every time, make sure you have an emergency kit in your car over and over. You hear it everywhere during the winter. And I got to tell you, if you live in where there's a lot of snow, it's really, really important.
Yeah, that is one thing I always have because I drive an old vehicle. So I always have
good
boots.
Good reason.
I have boots and I have snow pants and extra hat, gloves. I don't have an extra coat typically, but...
When we first moved here, we had to do one of the things that was important to my mom and dad is that we did a tornado training and stuff, and then we went into the basement and all that, and didn't think much of it. And then school starts, and where we went to, my sister and I and brother, when we went to school, Washington Elementary, they have a a tornado siren. Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday goes at 12:30. I'm sure you guys have probably heard it in town here and everything. Mm-hmm. Nobody warned us of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that freaked us out, like, right away. We thought the sky was falling. We thought this was... Like, everybody but my mom. My mom handled it just fine. My dad and I... Yeah, we did not handle it as well. Really thought the sky was falling.
Oh, moms, they got us on all that.
National Queso Day.
Oh.
Queso. Mm-hmm. Queso's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys enjoy it.
Oh, sorry, Mel.
National String Cheese Day. Not getting much better over here, Melissa. Yeah, not getting much better.
You can have that one, too.
I do love string cheese.
Yeah,
I do love string cheese. Yeah. That's some good stuff right there. National Punch Day.
Oh.
That you can have.
Here you go, Seth.
Not that kind of punch.
Dang it.
The kind you drink.
Oh, that takes all the fun out of it.
They make me laugh so much. Oh,
how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Oh, now that's my
those old ads. Oh,
I love Hawaiian punch, too. Yep. It's some of my favorite stuff. I like punches. I actually like fruit punches and stuff more than I like alcoholic punches. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a big fan of you can always get me with fruit punch. Like any type of flavor, if that's the flavor, I will drink it.
And they're just almost as bad for you with all the sugar.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, 100%. I have really been discovering a lot more in the last couple of months of how bad I am with sugar. I had no idea. No idea. It's also National Pepperoni Pizza Day.
Wow, I just thought I heard my son cheer. That was funny. They're actually having pizza at school today, so he was so excited about it.
Nice. I wonder if they look ahead and they do those things intentionally or not.
I think they do.
I would hope
for some things, I think they do. Yesterday at Anders Elementary School, they did Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Oh,
and they themed the... I mean, it's the regular same food, but they themed it as pirate themed, which I thought was kind of cool.
Nice.
And
it is National Fried Rice Day.
Oh, yeah. I love fried rice.
I do, too.
I love it.
Beginning as sort of a catch-all recipe and often made with the leftovers from other dishes, fried rice flavors can vary significantly. It's usually made with rice that is a day or two old and cold, which allows the texture to change. Fried rice is also made with additions such as eggs, vegetables, protein, and sauces. Mm-hmm. In the 1850s, Chinese restaurants became popular in the United States, beginning with San Francisco, California. San Fran continues to have an impressive population of Chinese people in its vast Chinatown. By the 1880s, Chinese establishments began opening in the United Kingdom, particularly in London and Liverpool, where many Chinese sailors and students would visit.
Hmm.
One of my friends out in Scotland, she tells me that the most English food there is Indian food or Asian food. Most English people, that's like their go-to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That cultural exchange, interesting.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, really. I'd like to know more about it, honestly. I think you have to go out there to finally experience it to really know what... I love fried rice is great.
Yes.
Rice is great. Dessert, because I know as a kid, that was a go-to meal sometimes, was either buttered noodles or buttered rice or something like that. Did your parents, guys, ever do that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Ramen.
Still ramen, really?
Oh, yeah.
That was the go-to. We got nothing else. Here you go.
Some ramen.
Right on.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. That is really good stuff.
Brings me back.
Though I can't remember the last time I had ramen, now that I think about it. Wow. It has been a really long time since I've had ramen.
As an adult, I throw a lot of vegetables in it.
That would probably
help. That makes me feel like it's better. It's my comfort food.
No, that's that you. I first thing that popped in my head was comfort food. That's different. When it's then all bets are off. You know, whatever you like or whatever you're enjoying about it, you go for it.
The last ramen I had was real ramen.
Ooh.
Made at I believe it was when Beth and I were in New York. We went to a restaurant that I believe is owned and operated by Morimoto, the Iron Chef.
Oh wow!
And it was just a ramen thing. And you get, if you've never seen actual ramen, it's a giant bowl and it's got all kinds of stuff on it that you mix together as you eat it.
Yeah.
So it's got it's got eggs and noodles and you know, whatever protein and vegetables and stuff. It's so good.
Sounds really good. Sounds almost like an Asian gumbo almost.
It's close. It really is, but it was delicious.
Yeah, sounds good to me. We have a street closure we wanted to let you guys know about as we go into Melissa's news. Seth, can you hit him up with that?
Yes. Looks like tomorrow there's going to be a lane closure in the northbound lane of 17th Avenue South between Bowles Street and Carey Street. There's a railroad crossing repairs going on. And that's going to start at 5:30 tomorrow morning, bright and early. But it is expected to be open at about 3 o'clock on the same day. Northbound traffic will be detoured starting at the roundabout and 17th Avenue South, then west in onto Gaynor Avenue, then north onto 21st Avenue South, then east onto Chase Street, then on back to 17th Avenue South.
Thank you.
You will be quizzed.
Yes.
What is your detour tomorrow?
Right.
Follow the detour signs.
Yes.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll play Melissa's news. We'll come back and talk about it being National Pepperoni Pizza Day and some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Yeah. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Serious comedy to start your day. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. It is 7:34 on the clock. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. And we are talking about it in our National Day of Calendar. Today is Pepperoni Pizza Day. If you're looking for an excuse not to cook tonight, well, you got it. Fried rice, national, you know, pepperoni pizza, whatever, you know, you choose.
Yeah, right.
Meal planning done.
Mm-hmm. A new poll asked pizza lovers about 30 different toppings and whether or not they belong on a pizza. Pepperoni received the most yes votes of all the toppings, but it wasn't unanimous. 7% of people voted no.
Seven?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd be one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, really? I like pepperoni, but it also, it messes with my stomach.
Oh,
so.
See, that's a good reason.
That's what I was thinking a good percentage of that seven, I imagine. There might be some that just don't like it. But
yeah, right.
I'm guessing that's a good portion of people, too.
Mm-hmm.
The other toppings that at least two-thirds of people say do belong on pizzas include mushrooms, garlic, onions, bacon, chicken, sausage, green peppers, ham, roasted red peppers, and pesto.
Mm. Those are all. The chicken is kind of weird, but okay. Mm. I know there's specific chicken type
pizzas. More like
pizzas.
Chicken Alfredo pizza.
Yeah, right.
Which doesn't have the red sauce. But yeah, chicken with red sauce is usually considered a little.
It's gauche.
Yes, there you go. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. The ones that only about half of people are cool with are spinach, tomato slices, black olives, jalapenos, pineapples, 42% said no to pineapples, sun-dried tomato, ground beef, banana peppers, barbecue sauce, ranch dressing, artichokes, and broccoli. The ones with that at least two-thirds of people said do not belong on pizza are fried eggs, asparagus, zucchini, eggplant, anchovies, shrimp, and corn.
Okay.
Corn pizza.
Doesn't that just sound appetizing? Yum.
Now, if it was a Mexican pizza, I can see putting corn on it, sure. Like corn salsa or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The only one...
I just like the idea of just dumping a
can of corn on there.
Just drop a corn cob on it.
I don't want a cheese pizza. Then there's a corn cheese pizza.
The only one on that list of the don't belong that's like traditional is anchovies.
Yeah.
Boy, anchovies have really fallen. Mm-hmm. In the pizza world. That used to be like the thing back in the day when those pizza places first started opening.
There's a mutual friend of Will and I's, and you know, being stand-up comedians, they work late nights, mostly in bars, where it's like almost 3 a.m. We're closing this one bar, and we order this pizza, and the one of Will's friends, and this very well-known comedian out in California and everything. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to get in trouble. But he's steadfast. Pizza's got to have at least half anchovies. It's got to have at least half anchovies and all this. And we're like, all right, fine. You know what? I forget what Will got on it, but the other half was anchovies or whatever. The pizza gets there, and everybody's grabbing a slice. We're eating for a couple minutes, and it's quiet and everything. And right away, this guy goes, I don't really like anchovies. I was just trying to be funny. And he was so sad because he was so hungry, and it was not a funny enough joke.
It wasn't worth it. No. Oh, my gosh.
And then he had to eat anchovies.
He's picking the piece and the anchovies off the pizza, and he's eating it. I don't know if I've ever seen somebody sad eating pizza, let alone somebody
That's
so funny. I mean, he was making me laugh like 20 minutes before that, and he looked so sad eating that pizza.
I have an anchovy story, too, that made me very sad when I was a first grader because... We were at that time vegetarian, and one of my favorite snacks was Gardetto's.
Oh, yeah. Those are great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I was told that I couldn't eat the Gardetto's because there's anchovies in Gardetto's.
Huh? Mm?
They use it as a seasoning.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Wow.
That.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So Gardetto's are not vegetarian.
Huh.
Unless you consider fish part of vegetarian, because there are several.
Well, at that time, we did not.
Yeah, at that time,
and
right.
So then I couldn't eat them, and I was very sad and mad at anchovies.
Yeah, I bet.
You've held a grudge ever
How
since.
How dare you? No, they're tasty. I love Gardetto. I eat them now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They are really good.
They are tasty.
I've never had them on pizza, though. I've never even seen them on pizza.
Is there a topping that you've had on a pizza that you didn't think you would like that you did?
I have a friend who is a theater person. I don't think we should hold that against her, but...
Probably not.
Her favorite pizza is pineapple and black olives.
Wow.
And she would always, you know, after like a show or whatever, she'd always get it. She's like, oh, I want to try it. So I actually tried it. It's not... And I'm not a big black olive guy.
Mm. Yeah.
But it works. Pineapple and black olive together work for whatever reason. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty is good. Odd. It is odd, but wow, it tasted good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get to eat a lot of pizza, so
I
don't try weird toppings. If I do eat pizza, I eat what I like.
Sure.
I'm not too big. I'm the least adventurous eater maybe in the universe and everything, but I like green peppers, and I love them. I really like them on Italian sausage. That's the way I really like them.
That's good.
Never tried them on pizza before. I've had it once or twice, and I liked it. I actually did kind of like it. It wasn't bad. Otherwise, though, yeah, I'm horrible at trying new things. You know, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to get better about it. But
next time, anchovies on pizza. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Or corn.
Yes, just that they get the corn thing. There.
Oh, sounds so unappetizing.
it kind of does. I don't know. But, you know, hey, if you were looking for an excuse to eat pizza or anything, or just not have to cook,
there you go.
There you go, everybody.
We got it for you.
It's a Tuesday. That seems good enough reason to be there.
Right.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got some fun stuff to get into. Are the kids in school by now? You think they're all in school by now?
Some of them are.
Quite. Some don't start until like 8:20.
All right, well, earmuffs. Earmuffs set. Because we got to get into this one, because this could be kind of fun. And I want everybody to have some fun with this one. Okay?
All right.
We all love kids. We love our children. Love kids in general. Kids are great. I did a little reporting last night. Turns out children, the future. Had no idea.
That is some crack reporting.
Thank you, Melissa. So let's all, you know, we agree. We love kids. Kids are great. Kids are awesome. I have here 15 things that parents secretly dislike about their children.
I like the preamble there. That was good.
15. Yeah.
Only 15. It's only.
Sorry.
They counted.
I mean, this is, it's no different. You could insert whether it's kids or your significant other or whatever. I mean, we all have frustrations with people we love at times. Mm-hmm. My mom drives me nuts most of the time. Like, I wouldn't trade her for anything in the world.
Of course not.
This is my mom. She's the best.
Right.
But we drive each other crazy sometimes. We do.
That's life.
This is life. This is being with people you love.
That's right.
I tell people this all the time, and I don't think that they quite believe me, or maybe they think I'm over-exaggerating. I cannot stress this enough. I'm not. My dad's side of the family, they will tell you, I love you. They'll yell it at you. They're not mean.
Aggressive
they're
love.
They're not angry. Yeah. They're not, you know, or anything, but it's like everything they say, it seems to be at a 10 in this. So I think of that when I think of articles like this. We all love our kids, somewhat, but sometimes we get a little frustrated. Someone asked people to name things that they secretly dislike about their children. Here are the highlights. Your weekends are ruined. There's no sleeping in when you have kids, and even when they're older, you have to shuffle them to soccer games and different events.
Yeah. I have to say, when they do get a little older, there is a little bit of more room there to do it, because they can get up on their own now, and they can, you know, if it's like Saturday, they can watch a little TV or something like that.
They can make their own cereal.
Yeah, exactly. They can get some breakfast for themselves. Yeah. So that's nice. Mm-hmm. But again, it doesn't last that long.
Number two, how cute quote-unquote cute, milestones can make things harder. Like, they can talk. Great. Now they'll never be quiet again. Oh, they're learning to walk. That's wonderful. Okay, no.
Yeah. And they're running.
And they're running. Oh, they're dirty.
That's
and,
why parents are only happy with the first time they do it.
Right.
Yes, the first time, they're like, wow, isn't that great? And then they realize, oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now I'm going to be chasing you forever.
I will never stop moving from this point forward. Like, I will always be moving. I'm
hearing
a blur.
The word why a lot.
Yes. The mess. It's a lot harder to keep your home clean once you have kids. Yes.
Until they get to that age when they can clean up after themselves.
Mm-hmm.
After much prompting and prodding and threats
and
rewards.
Yeah. In every 10 seconds. You cleaning in there?
Yeah.
You cleaning in
there? Are you doing that job I tasked you with?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Mindless playing, like when they want you to play with their dolls or action figures with them and you have to fake like you're having a really fun time. You know, I gotta admit, I'm maybe this is because I just didn't get to do that as a kid. I don't really have to fake it.
I kind of enjoy
playing with the kids. Like, I don't have any interest in playing with toys by myself or anything.
Right.
But good news, James.
When in Rome, you know, I mean,
yeah, right.
That's hilarious. Like, I've got a secret toy room that I don't tell anybody about. It's got all these little kids' toys in there and everything. That sounds really creepy, actually, as
that
I said. I meant it as very jokingly, and that did not go that way.
And now the plot has twisted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moving on. No. It makes work harder. Number 6 on the list. It makes work harder. Whether you're at home or in the office, it interferes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the extra cooking. Then half the time they complain you or won't eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's
is
so
dinner.
True.
Eat it.
That's right.
I want this cup. You get that cup. I don't like that cup. But 3 seconds ago, you said you wanted that. I don't like that cup. But you just, no.
We had that last night. It's one of those things where, okay, so I made the food, and it's something we've not had before. And I put it out there, and my youngest is like, you've never tried it. You've never had it before. Try it. But it looks... He did try it, and he actually liked it. So
see?
That's all he's got.
Yeah.
See, no,
but you got to get over that disappointment that they project at you.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't tacos.
Yeah, or whatever, yeah.
Right, or pepperoni pizza.
Feeling very sheepish over here.
You were that kid.
James. I was that kid.
Can use this as therapy if you want. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Oh, I think my parents are the ones who could really use the therapy. I put them through a lot, guys.
They're either laughing or crying right now, one of the two. Yeah.
Probably both.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the intent of this article, but I'm immediately feeling incredibly guilty over here. Like my Jewish guilt is like picking up big time. especially considering like we didn't have a lot. And here I still was picky about stuff. Like I'm going to call my mother after this segment. Working all day and then having to go to a play or a band recital or a track and field or
activity
soccer game.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
Very draining.
Dealing with other parents' nonsense and also having to pretend like you like them or that you would hang out even. That is one that I don't hear as much of that one. But I don't know if that's just because people don't want to talk about that kind of stuff, you know, cause especially here in the Midwest. We tend to do that. So many of us, if not all of us, were raised with, if you got nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all kind of thing.
Yep.
So that you just
Midwestern
don't share any.
Nice.
Yeah, yep. You just don't share any feelings. You just bury them.
Yeah, exactly.
What are feelings?
Boiling cauldron of rage. Right, yeah, right. Yeah. That's all we are.
That's what we do. So this is Midwest mentality.
We're all the Hulk. I'm always angry.
Yes. No, we're just Vulcans with no feelings.
Right. Both are good. I like both of those. How touchy-feely kids can be. Sometimes they can't keep their hands off you, and those hands are rarely clean.
Oh, man. Yeah. Can't keep their hands off of things around the house. That's more for us. It's like, I told you not to. Is that yours?
I don't remember.
Why are you pulling it?
I don't remember that one being such a problem as what you're saying there, Seth.
Yeah.
Yes. It's much like I don't know most parents, but for me, I never wore clothes around my kids when they were little or little kids in general that I don't plan on, okay, they can get dirty. Like they,
that's a good rule of thumb.
When I worked construction, I didn't go in a suit. I went there wearing clothes that I knew could get dirty. It's just understanding the environment.
You prepared for it.
Yeah. You know, you deal with kids. Don't wear some Versace.
No, please don't.
Probably not a good idea.
No.
One mom admitted she secretly dislikes her kid for ruining her body. Quote, I love my kid, but my body will never be the same.
Yeah,
that's true.
I have literally nothing I can add to that because I cannot even pretend to understand what that is like.
No.
So I will just I think is fair to leave sit there.
Right. And to, you know, to be very general about it, because think about what a woman's body has to go through in order to give birth.
Yeah,
not just to carry the child, but the actual, if you physically give birth, you know, they don't, you know, like mean it's not cesarean or something like that. When you actually do it, it's stuff moves. You know, things change. And yes, for some women, it's permanent. These changes can be permanent. So it's very different for them.
Because there has been literally countless amount of us, you know, born on this rock over time, we've really become very numb to pregnancy and to childbirth and the idea of it. And we've gotten so used to all these things and stuff that we kind of like... Just,
you take it for granted.
We take a lot of this for granted. And anytime you, like, there was a, I think it was a movie or a TV show I was watching or something like that that was set in like the down, you know, the early ages and stuff. And a baby was a breech. And they lost the mom and stuff from it and everything, like these kind of things. And stuff still happens a little bit, but nowhere near the numbers that it did at one point in time.
Yep.
And because of so many different technologies or clothing or all kinds of different stuff, we have masked a lot of what the aftermath is like for women after childbirth. And we've gotten a little bit better. I remember when I was a kid, talking about some of the emotional things. Mm-hmm. But we still don't really talk much about the physical part of things.
No. And they can be hand in hand. Maybe that's, you know... Pregnancy and childbirth are still such a mystery in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. We know a lot, like you said, James, we know a lot more, but there's still so many things we don't know about it. And, you know, it's especially what happens after the child is born with postpartum depression. Yeah. And like you said, you know, the body changes, hormone changes are huge when the child is finally out of the body. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's stuff that I'm glad we're talking about it more.
Yes.
Because we can now get it out there. Before it was like, you know, hush, no, don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Don't shut a woman away in a room.
Exactly.
Don't let her be seen.
Yeah.
That's just
no,
it's
we,
ridiculous.
No, we need to address these things.
It needs to be out in the open and talked about. And by the people who are going through it, they
should
be
completely.
The ones making the decisions. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can't even talk really about it because I've never had a child.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I am a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You would have a better idea than we would, but I respect the fact that you say that, though.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had. But we mention it from time to time that we need more empathy in this world. This is how you create it.
Yeah.
You explain. You have people able to explain what's going on, the things that are being said, and life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
We may not be able to ever completely understand, but we can have a little more empathy for what it is that the body, the mind, everything goes through.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can't leave the house once you go to bed without getting a babysitter.
Oh yeah.
It's very almost true. Like being in some kind of lockup.
House arrest has happened.
A little bit.
Not being able to take a day off when you're sick. You don't really get rest days. You have to still cook, clean, help with all the homework and all those other things and such. There are no days off as a parent.
No. It's for sure.
They follow you everywhere. There is no such thing as privacy.
Nope.
No, there's not.
The moment that child has its first breath, your privacy is gone.
It is gone.
Done.
You got nothing left.
Your favorite room in the house will become the bathroom.
You don't even get privacy there.
No, you do not.
But it's the closest you get. It's the only chance you have as an adult. It's the closest you have to get into that bathroom and shut that door just in enough time before the little ones get there. And if you lock it, you feel guilty. You feel bad. You're like, I'm a grown human being. I should not be hiding from 4-year-olds. But there you are on the other side of that door, being as quiet as you can, just hoping. They didn't hear you go in there. Just hoping. Like, it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a monster coming to get you.
John Carpenter music in the background,
you hear from far away, Dad. Dad.
Yep.
Dad.
They found us. They found
Dad.
Us.
Yep.
Look, Helen, you run. You just go for yourself. Go out the window. You go ahead. Run. I'll see if I can buy some time.
Parents learn some phrase. You know, it's stuff we hear when you're not with, you don't have kids. You're like, oh, I'm not going to do that yes. when I'm a parent. Yeah. This is what it is, because I've done it myself. Can I be alone for 5 minutes in the bathroom? You know,
20 seconds.
Because you say it, you shout it. It's like, I just want to go to the bathroom.
20 seconds is as long as my youngest would go. I would count, and I guarantee you, at 19, 20, just a knock, just immediately, just right in that 20-second mark.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the pressure that every little mistake made as a parent could scar them for life.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
that's a big one. It really is.
The more we're getting better about understanding the brain and trauma and so many other things, as adults, we're dealing with that and some things that we never dealt with our whole lives when we're discovering and realizing, oh, this is something I should probably dig into. And for those with kids, I can't speak for others, but I know for me, when I have those epiphanies or I have those moments, almost a like 2-3 minutes later, my first thought is, boy, did I pass that on to my kids? Did that affect my kids? And with the stuff that I dealt with in my own youth, I think about that with my kids. Mm-hmm. Like how much my trauma affected my own kids and that kind of thing. Like this is all stuff that I don't know how you don't worry about. Mm-hmm. My kids are all in their 20s and I still worry about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And that's and I think that's natural, especially if you really care. It's something, you know, where you're like, you know, I want to do the best job I can with my kids. You know, I understand that they are an individual. Mm-hmm. They are going to have their own feelings, their own personality and everything. I believe personally, this is my opinion, that parents either get too much blame or too much credit for their children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they are their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep that in mind when, you know, I have those moments where it's like, am I ruining my child?
Yeah.
What did I just do something bad? Did I just do
so, can this be fixed?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, I had because a lot of parents, you know, they want to put away a college fund and everything like that for their mm-hmm. kids. Mine was a therapy fund.
I was just going to say that, but I didn't think it would fly. I'm glad we had the same thought, James.
Yeah, that's good. Therapy fund. I like that.
And just this going through all of this, for one, it makes me appreciate the moms of my kids, Christine and Mandy, both of them, especially when I think of Mandy, because Amanda has health issues and still, you know, she's had, I believe, of 4 or 5 children and mm-hmm. 2 with me and just. You know, cannot say how internally thankful I am to both of those women, to my own mom, to my grandmother, to all the women I can think of that have had kids and that do this, to all the single parents out there I'm thinking of right now that deal with these things. And it's not taking anything from, you know, your mom and dad, your two sets of parents or what have you or anything mm-hmm. like that. But, man, I know I had it could be rough. And I looked at some of the stuff my mom and dad went through with mm-hmm. us, and they had each other. You know, even if we didn't have much, at least they had each other, for the most part, when my dad was around.
Yeah.
but you know, still, it's nothing compared to what some parents are going through out there. So,
absolutely right.
Vent if you need to vent. You know, have your outlets, have your releases where you can, and you know, have a good support system. Yeah, if you don't have one, then reach out, because there will be people, hopefully, that can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And have your back on that one. Because parenting ain't easy. I mean, you can make the argument the toughest thing that we do as a human race is parenting.
It is.
I mean, rocket science, being a doctor, being a teacher, all these things are important. And it's kind of all parenting is. I mean, you're kind of all of these jobs. You're almost all of the jobs in the world
right.
when it comes to it.
And you know, I find myself going back to some cliches, but it's true. You're given this little person, and there is no instruction booklet. You can get advice from 100 different people. It's all different.
Yep.
And it's in the end, this is a different person.
Right.
It's going to be different for this single individual. Mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, it's education. As you teach, you learn. And it's a process. And it goes and it keeps going until, like you said, James, even when your kids are grown, when they're out of the house, mm-hmm. it's still a process. You're still mm-hmm. learning stuff. So.
Yep, and it should be a choice that you get to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And you know that the majority of you, you're all doing the best you can. All of us.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's very important to be able to do that. Seth, one more time, would you mind reading that street closure for us?
Certainly. Starting tomorrow morning, bright and early at 5:30, there will be lane closures expected at the northbound lane of 17th Avenue South between Bowles Street and Carey Street due to railroad crossing repairs there. Northbound traffic will be detoured starting at the roundabout and 17th Avenue South, then west onto Gaynor Avenue, then north onto 21st Avenue South, then east onto Chase, and then back onto 17th Avenue South. That is supposed to be done by about 3 o'clock.
Thanks a lot for that, Seth. Next hour, we're going to get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We will dive into that. Which states watch too much football? A restaurant doing something that I don't know if it's a That Ain't Right story or not, or maybe the customer was the That Ain't Right story. We'll find out together coming up on Mornings on WFHR.